Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before.
Right. Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for...
Here we go.
Kickoff. With Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti.
That's right. Week 3 is upon us. Lots to do. Boomer, how are you, my man?
Yeah, you know, I've been better, Mike, but I'm playing hurt this morning and looking forward to it. And by the way, I got to tell you, your Giants last week, I was thinking about you that whole game. And I was thinking you were sitting on the end of the couch and you were just screaming at the TV because of the defense.
I have to tell you, it's encapsulated in the fact that my father texted me and said, I have to take a walk to clear my head. He didn't want to take a walk, Boomer. He does his walks in the morning. But this rat team forced an afternoon emotional walk. I hate this team, okay? that's where I'm at. Let's get Thursday Night Football, and then I know we have Boomer's surprises, disappointments, and shocking revelations after the first 2 weeks. Just some fun. Thursday night, I just thought it was businesslike. Bills didn't play their best, didn't play their worst. They know they're better. Hammered the rock, 31-21. Nothing special, but it's a sign the Bills have matured. They had back-to-back little, shout-out Greg Giannotti, maybe a lay-down spot. They didn't do it. They just play their game.
Well, you know, the other thing that they don't do is they don't turn the ball over. This is 8 straight games that they've played now where they don't have any turnovers and 25 games in which they've won the turnover battle. And it's one of the reasons why they're one of the best teams in the league. And this is, you know, Josh Allen a couple years ago, you remember he would throw those like indiscriminate interceptions in the red zone, in the end zone. That's not happening anymore. And it's one of the reasons why they are pretty much flawless on offense. And with James Cook, they have a nice little balance going on. And, you know, what I see it the way that you saw it last night. It wasn't a great game by the Bills, but the fact that they scored 31 points and came up with a big defensive play, I mean, that's who they are. And that's the way that they're going to have to play the rest of the season. The big question for me will be whether or not their defense is going to be good enough to get them all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's going to take time. I mean, we talked about this in the preview episode. They've added so many new pieces, whether free agency or the draft. It's hard to just duct tape a front seven together. That's going to have to continue to get better as the year goes on. I'm with you. If the defense is going to play, they've played the first 3 weeks, it's not going to be good. 2 weeks, rather, excuse me. It won't be good enough. But I do think we have to allow a little bit of grace. Miami can still score, and the Ravens are no slouch, right? So I'm willing to wait there. I want to go to surprises, disappointment. We're 2 weeks in, obviously 3 for the Thursday Nighters. The things that have surprised, disappointed, revelations. Now, I've made a huge list. I know you've got a list. So let's just do this alternating fashion. You bat leadoff.
Well, my biggest surprise so far is Daniel Jones in Indianapolis. The fact that they got 2 home games and he's played really well in those 2 home games and he's running, he's throwing. They're not punting. It's the first time in NFL history a team has started out the season without punting and scoring pretty much on every series. So what he has done out there is a revelation. I mean, he has restarted his career. I'm happy for him. Shane Steichen is a good offensive play caller. He finally has a quarterback that's going to listen to him and do what he wants him to do on the field. And plus, it goes to show you that the Indianapolis are, you know, they're an underrated team. They got a little bit of a break last week for sure, don't get me wrong. But Daniel Jones has played great the first 2 weeks.
And you know what? Change of scenery. It matters. And Boomer, you played in New York. You also played in a smaller market in Cincinnati. There's a big difference between 60 microphones and six. I think Indianapolis is a great place for Daniel Jones. Fresh slate. He's a stabilizing factor. They don't need him to be a star. And you're right. They're dialing things up. He's making throws he never made as a Giant. It's just really touching my heart. Here's something that surprised me. And you and I are both fans of this guy. But I don't know that we were ready to put him in this classification. Baker Mayfield's a top five QB. He has risen to the absolute elite. He's been incredible.
Oh, you know, I can't say that. I can't.
Okay.
I could say top 10. I can't say top five.
How about top seven?
Well, the reason I don't, because I, you know, there are points in games where, you know, they'll go three and out. They'll miss on a third down and five or something like that. I mean, his completion percentage is around 60%. It should be up to 65 to 68% in this league, especially with his wide receivers. But one thing I do not want to take away from him, and this is where I would give him a top five, and that would be the way that he plays and the fact that his team absolutely loves and adores him. So, you know, he lets it all out on the field, and I love that about him. Now, he's got a little Brett Favre recklessness in him, yeah, which I think is something you and I both appreciate. But it certainly was the fact that he had to replace Tom Brady, and he's done it. Now let me see him get him to the playoffs and win, you know, get to the Super Bowl, and then we got something. So we're not there yet. Just
okay.
Yet.
All right, go ahead.
But I do think he's a top 10 guy. So you're good.
You. Okay? You're good. I just appreciate he doesn't have this unbelievable offensive line. You know, they're down Tristan Wirfs, they're down Chris Godwin. He puts them on his back and backed. How about this? End of a game. You got a minute 30 to go, one timeout. There are not three guys ahead of him you'd rather hand the ball to. You want to say Mahomes still? Cool. Josh Allen? Done. Baker's right there. If I got one drive to win a game, I'm taking him.
I would definitely agree with you. All right, disappointment for me, obviously, number one on the list has got to be the Dolphins. They're 0-3. Mistake laden all over the place. You know, the coaches got a hard time talking about his team after the game, before the game. I mean, it was cute a couple years ago when they were playing well, but now all of a sudden, when you see the mistakes and you wonder about, you know, whether or not the players truly respect him, I would worry about his job if I were him. I don't know whether or not they'll pull the plug in the middle of the season or not. But 0-3 is not the way to start.
Always nice before the game to get a report that says, your job is safe unless Stephen Ross sees less people at the games. Then you're gone. He's gone. It's a matter of when, not if. And it's bad. But here, how about this? My biggest disappointment, as bad as the Dolphins are, the Bears are so much worse. Caleb, the team, the defense of the Bears, and Boomer were 2 weeks in. You are seeing a team that is not playing at max effort. The Bears are a stunning clown car to me.
Well, what was stunning to me is what the Detroit Lions did to them last week, 55 points. And I mean, you know, you could see them taking shots at Ben Johnson. And I didn't realize there was so much strife internally when Ben Johnson took that job in Chicago. I mean, that was like a beatdown of epic proportions. And I agree with you. I mean, the Bears are like the Caleb Williams thing, I think, is going to take time because Ben Johnson's offense is going to ask him to really be a more stationary quarterback than running around. And you got to be able to read defenses. You got to be able to get to your second, third receivers if you're going to be any good. And right now, it seems to me like Caleb is really trying very hard to be a leader. And he's talking openly about being a leader. And leaders don't do that. Leaders lead by example. They don't talk about it. So, yeah, they are stuck in neutral right now. They're going to have a tough game this week. And I agree with you. They also are very disappointing. Now, also disappointing on this list, two parts of two teams. One is the Texans' offense, and the other is the Steelers' defense. I don't know what's going on with these two teams. I know Texans, they have a poor offensive line, and I think C.J. Stroud is really struggling because of that. The pressure is obvious, and they're not scoring a lot of points. And then the Steelers' defense, they should have won this game last week against Seattle. They should have.
No doubt. It's shocking. Week one, you're giving up 200 yards rushing. Week two to Seattle, K-9 has, what, 9 yards a carry? it is surprising. Let me give you a positive surprise. I really like Atlanta's defense. And a couple of young studs there headlined, learn the name Xavier Watts. Elite. And they, I'm telling you, Raheem Morris has a defense. And Atlanta's got a run, you know, defense and running game are not things you associate with the Atlanta. I really like their defense a couple weeks in, Boomer.
And what I want to see from them this week as they go to Carolina, I want to see them shut down Bryce Young. Don't let him get into a rhythm. Don't let him get into what he got into last week against the Cardinals in the fourth quarter. You got to intimidate that kid, and you got to get after him.
And be professional. This is a game Atlanta always dumps in seasons past.
Exactly.
Your favorite on the road in the division. Grow up, win the game.
Here's another one that's a little bit of a surprise for me because of some of the things that they've gone through and the amount of injuries that they're already dealing with, and that's the 2-0 49ers. Last week, I think you and I both took the Saints to beat them because Mac Jones was playing. But once again, Kyle Shanahan shows you that he is the quarterback whisperer. And you talked, you gave the list of the quarterbacks that he has worked with over his time as a coach in the NFL. And every single one of those guys has had supreme success, including Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
And he got it out of Mac Jones last week. Mac Jones looked like a completely different player. And this team is, you know, a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries over the last 2 years. They're dealing with injuries going into this game this week. A little bit surprising that they are 2-0.
Let me give you one here. The Eagles. Now listen, they're winning games. But shockingly, only averaging 3.8 yards a carry on the ground. No verticality in the passing game. Jalen Hurts didn't complete a pass that traveled 6 yards or more in the air. Six, Boomer, not 60, until the fourth quarter last week. Eagles offense does not look right.
What do you think would happen to them if they didn't have the tush push? Think about how many times they run that in a game.
Please, can we get rid of this cursed play? Oh, my God.
You know, maybe next year they will get rid of it. I don't think this year, you know, obviously they're not going to do anything in the middle of the season. They're not going to change anything. But next year, I would almost bet that it will be out of the NFL next year. So
Thank God.
Yes. The other thing, and I would say for a surprise, maybe a little bit more for me than it was for you, and that's Jonathan Gannon and the Cardinals. And you thought that they were going to be the sneaky team out there in the West. Now, they're out there with the Rams. They're out there, obviously, with the 49ers. And now here they come, 2-0. They've played okay. I thought their defense has played much better. Their pass rush has been better than advertised.
Yes. Referendum spot this weekend. Grow up. It's just like Atlanta. The Niners are wounded. Prove you're going to be a serious team this year. I haven't loved the way they've closed games, but they're winning games they would have lost in years past. Let me give you another surprise, and I'm sure this is one you've talked about locally, and I'll let you carry the torch for this. The much-hyped, ballyhooed, triple word score, Giants' vaunted defense absolutely sucks.
Right now it does, and I know you have a little bit of a pet peeve that you don't see all of these guys on the field together. I'm just telling you that Kayvon Thibodeau, Abdul Carter, and of course Brian Burns all play the same position. And the idea is to think that, okay, Abdul Carter can play maybe inside linebacker, move him around a little bit, but you're asking a lot of a rookie to actually do that. So you're not going to get these guys all on the field at the same time, the amount of times that you want them on the field. I think what's going to end up happening as the season goes on and Abdul Carter, if nobody gets hurt and he starts to feel a little bit more comfortable, maybe we'll see higher percentages of them along with Dexter Lawrence on the field. The other thing, too, is, by the way, locally here, Dexter Lawrence has taken it upon himself to say that he's not playing well enough, that he has to play better.
Yeah, when Dexter Lawrence is on his game, he treats centers and guards like end tables. He picks them up and moves them. He's not good enough right now. None of them are good enough. But you know what doesn't help? Off cover. I mean, you got corners that aren't even in your television screen. I don't even know what the hell Shane Bowen's doing. Sorry.
I don't think he trusts his corners. That's what I think is the problem. And I think that what they were worried about against the Cowboys was the fact that, you know, if CeeDee Lamb was having a huge game and they couldn't cover him. And the last thing that they want to do is give up a touchdown pass late in the game over the top. So they basically played prevent football, which prevents you from winning. And they give the ball to the Cowboys who take it down and then you got the best kicker in football. So, I mean, they got to be more aware. The coach has got to be more aware of what the other team has and what the other team is doing. But I just don't think that there's a lot of confidence right now in their corners.
Your turn. I could keep going. It's not worth it. Dad, emotional, sad walk.
Yes.
Next.
Well, the other thing too is now the Bengals are 2-0 and they go on the road this week to Minnesota. And Jake Browning, and I've been telling people all week long that Jake Browning is a guy that's beloved in that locker room. They love this guy.
He's not bad, Boomer.
No, he's not. He's a little bit of a gunslinger, though. He's not afraid to throw an interception. And I don't think that Jamar Chase or T. Higgins is going to be really hurt by this because Zach Taylor will force Jake Browning to be throwing the ball to those guys on the outside. So if people think that this is going to like hamstring the Bengals significantly, I would say it's a 50-50 proposition. I think that he can get them the 10 wins. I really do, and I think that's how much they love him in that locker room.
Chiefs, I didn't think they'd be that good this year. I just didn't think they'd be this bad. It takes them 8 years to score. No explosiveness. Running game's unimpressive. I'm surprised how bad it looks.
Well, their defense is playing well. I mean, as Chris Jones told Jalen Hurts last week, he only threw for just over 100 yards. So this is definitely a defensive team. There's no question about that. There is no explosion on this offense. But, you know, they're going to be playing the Giants defense this week. Maybe this is a week that they get back on track. But I will say, yeah, it's frustrating watching their defense. It's just like kind of watching, the offense of the Houston Texans. There's too much. There's just not enough consistency and no big plays.
No. And, I mean, I've got to host more of these, but we've got like 30 seconds. Packers, best team in the league, surprising. Rookie running backs, Amarian Hampton, Ashton Genty, both stink. You had something in your notes. James Hudson is a CIA operative sent to destroy the Giants. do you want to charge?
I will say one thing. He took too much five-hour energy before the game last week. And uh-huh. I know they signed him because they wanted the edge that he brings to the team. They wanted a guy like that on their roster, and he brought it, but he just brought it at the wrong time and obviously had a meltdown on the sideline, which I could totally understand. Been there, done that, and have seen that.
Four penalties on the same drive by one player.
Not good.
Just congratulations. All right, we'll leave it alone. We've got a ton of picks to get to. We also are going to take stock of teams, the 2-0s, the 0-2s, who's fake, who's irredeemable, and more. We got your whole week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Covered. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right, we have got a really difficult week. Week 3 in the NFL. The picks, oh boy, just hit the button.
Picks of the week.
And it starts right out with the type of stuff this show hates. A big road favorite. The Green Bay Packers laying 8.5. They travel to C-Town to take on the Browns.
You know, they are a great team. I really do think that Jordan Love is, he's got the goods. He's got everything he needs. He's got the defense. He's got wide receivers. He's got a solid offensive line. They run the ball well. I'm a big Matt LaFleur fan. I think he's a terrific coach. 8.5 is a lot. And, you know, I had this situation with the Browns last week on the road against the Ravens, and it didn't turn out well for me. But at home, this defense is stifling. I want to see how good Jordan Love really is and this offense versus this Cleveland defense. The Packers are going to win, but I'm going to take the 8.5 points and take the Browns.
Yeah, again, I would never touch this in real life. But here's one thing, Boomer. Maybe I'm overvaluing it. I think when you play a team like the Ravens, or you played a team, for instance, in years past, like the Lions, they beat you twice. They're so physical. It's such a trench war. I wonder what the Browns got left, because that defense is probably going to file a class action lawsuit against that offense. Give me the Pack. I'll lay the 8.5. Jags, Texans. I loathe both of these teams.
You know,
I hate every second I watch either of them. Jags laying 1.5.
The amount of hits that C.J. Stroud has taken in the last year and a half is ridiculous.
They're going to ruin his career, Boomer.
It looks like that they're on the way of doing that right now. Now, on the other side, Jacksonville should have won the game against Cincinnati last week. A drop pass late in the game on a fourth down call that Liam Cohen went for it. Trevor Lawrence pulled the trigger, throws a perfect pass. Game should have been over right there. Instead, of course, Jake Browning goes down and goes right against this Jacksonville defense. I think Jacksonville wins here just simply because of the offensive line of the Texans. I'm with you on that 100%. And if it were 3 points or maybe 3.5 points, I'd take the Texans, but I'm going to take the Jags here.
Yeah, you want to know how bad it is, and I'm sure Boomer will validate this is suboptimal. C.J. Stroud is getting pressured on 41% of third downs. You can't function. I can't believe I got to go with this weirdo Liam Cohen. Duval. Give me the Jags, lay the 1.5. I feel filthy. Vikings laying 3 as they take on Boomer's Jake Browning.
You know what? I would not normally bet this game at all, but since we have to do this and we like to do this, I'm going to take the Bengals and Jake Browning. I think he's comfortable with his wide receivers. The Cincinnati Bengal defense has been a little bit better than I thought it was going to be. I don't think Shamar Stewart is going to play for them this week. He's got an ankle. I'm not pulling the trigger on Carson Wentz. He's only been there about 3 weeks. And I know Kevin O'Connell is the quarterback whisperer as well. Dials up great plays. I'll just take the Bengals here and I'll take the points.
Yeah, this is tough. You're betting on 2 backup quarterbacks in week 3. Flores against a backup, albeit a good one. Here's the other one. This is how bad J.J. McCarthy was. I'm gonna back Carson Wentz, who left the paint store or wherever he was working, and he's now your starter. Give me the Vikings. Atlanta laying 5.5 to go on the road to Carolina.
You know, you said it last week about the Atlanta defense, and they were shot out of a cannon. I didn't realize they were that fast, and they were overwhelming the Minnesota Vikings. Michael Penix is still playing okay. Bijan Robinson, a super stud. Bryce Young played pretty well in the fourth quarter last week. I'm gonna lay the 5.5 here. I'm gonna take Atlanta. I think Atlanta is starting to build some momentum here.
Yeah.
And this is gonna be one of those games that you talked about earlier in the show where they would lay down as a dog and they'd end up losing this game when they shouldn't, but not this year.
Be professional. That's what they should wear t-shirts. Be professional. If you're good, you win this game. I hate laying 5.5. I can't back Carolina. All those Bryce Young stats, those are fake. You fall down 27-3 and the other team is in the locker room, I'm not trying to hear it. Give me Atlanta. Something's fishy in Foxborough, Boomer. Steelers laying 1.5 at the Patriots?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah, and I know what to do. I know you want me to take the Steelers here because the line is talking to you, and that's, you know more about that than I do.
Oh, please.
I'm going to take a look at the Steelers defense, and I wonder what is going on there. Why are they giving up so many yards on the ground? Why are they having so many problems? The Patriots found their game. They finally scored over 30 points. Drake May looked pretty good last week. I think this is going to be a really tight game. I think it's a field goal game, and I'm going to take the home team, the Patriots.
Oh, God help me. It's one of my plays of the week. Patriots are the most popular dog of the week. Nobody wants the Steelers. I'm riding with the Aviators. Give me the Steelers. Oh, my God. Eagles laying 3.5 as they host the Rams.
All right, so the Rams played these guys tough last year, and Saquon Barkley actually ran through the Rams last year, but the games were tight. You know, and I don't like the Eagles offense. You talked about this. There's no verticality to it. Did I say that right? I think I did.
I'll live with it.
All right. So I think the Rams defense is young, fast. They should be able to kind of stifle this Philadelphia offense. I'll take Matthew Stafford on the road and the points.
Yeah, and again, the Ram defense, their run D has been better this year. Last year, Saquon had a couple of huge runs. No, you can't take those away, but they generally, on a play-in, play-out basis, stopped him. Also, they hit Jalen Hurts 100 times in that matchup last year. I'm going to take the 3.5. I think it's a tight game. And remember, Stafford had the ball at like the 18-yard line, chance to tie the game in a snowstorm last year. The Rams can play these guys tough. Give me the 3.5. Commanders laying 3.5 as they host the Raiders.
Okay, do we know whether or not Jaden Daniels is going to play in this game?
I don't care. Raiders.
Okay, you love the Raiders. Okay, so for me, and I want to make sure Scones knows this, if Jaden Daniels starts the game, I'm sticking with the Commanders. Ugh. If he does not start the game, I'm going to go with the Raiders.
This is a Geno Smith up-down spot. He was dreadful last week, which means super-duper Geno's downloading. This is what Geno does. Awesome dog water. Awesome unplayable. We're in an awesome spot. Give me the Raiders. Bucks laying 7 as they host the Jets.
Wow. So, you know, here's
the thing. Tyrod Taylor.
I know Tyrod Taylor is going to settle things down offensively. They'll try to run the ball against this Buck defense that's been pretty good the first 2 weeks of the season. Bucks don't score a lot of points, but the Jets do give up a lot of points. I mean, I just got to say this locally. We had it at 5.5, and I took the Bucks. Here with 7 points, I'm going to take the Jets.
That's right. Baker Mayfield, as much as I adore this man, 39% against the spread as a favorite, larger than a field goal in his career. I can't do it. Give me the Jets. Bucks win, Jets cover. This is Boomer's game of the week. People, you want to know how demented this guy is? Right here. Colts, Titans. Woo. This is the type of stuff that gets him going. Colts laying 4.5.
Division matchup. First time that Daniel Jones goes on the road as the Colts quarterback. Titans are going to play tough at home. This is one of those desperation spots for them since they are 0-2. I think I'm going to take the Titans here, but I do think the Colts will win the game.
Damn, I'm proud of this guy. Yes. Look, the Colts are a really fun story, but you know, Boomer, you know this. You played. You've covered the league for decades. You got to earn the right to become a big road favorite. I'm just not ready to do that with the Colts north of a field goal. It is divisional, and you know what? I know he's a rookie. I know it's uneven. Cam Ward has flashed. There's ability there. I just, unfortunately, he's coached by Brian Callahan. I'll take the Titans, though. Give me the 4.5. Seattle, 7.5-point favorites against the Saints.
You know, I don't know how Seattle won the game last week against Pittsburgh. So many things had to happen late in that game, and I felt like they were outplayed for most of the game. The Saints played tough. They play hard, but they're going on the road here. The 12s, I think, are going to be all amped up for Sam Darnold. I'm gonna take the Seattle Seahawks, and I'll lay the points.
Begrudgingly, I agree. I mean, I like what I've seen from the Saints, but they've both been at home. You faced a backup in week two. You know, week one had a little bit of a preseason-y feel against the Cards. This is on the road. I'll go with Seattle. No way would I touch this in real life, though. Chargers, 2.5-point favorites against the Broncos.
You want to talk about inconsistent officiating? That's exactly what happened to the Broncos last week. They should be 2-0. Yep. They basically got screwed at the end of the game last week. I've watched 1,000 field goal attempts, and every team seems to do the same thing. And they all go over the center. And for some reason, the Broncos had a flag thrown on them. I still can't figure out why.
So it was 4 seconds after the play.
Yes. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell that was all about. I think the Broncos are a tough team. If this were like 3.5 points, I would probably take the Broncos. But because it's under a field goal, I'm going to take the Chargers. I think this is a field goal type of game.
Yep. Harbaugh's inevitable. This was my pick to win the West. I got to stick with it. I got to take him head up. I think I have the better QB. This could be Justin Herbert's coming out party. MVP level stuff. Give me the Bolts. Plus, Boomer, that Bronco D, I know it didn't make our opening segment. Come on now, fellas. Week 3, you know, a lot of talk they were a top 5 defense. They're not playing like it. Bears. Now, this is weird. Some places have the Cowboys favored by 1. Some have the Bears by 1. So, Bears -1 hosting the Cowboys.
You know, I hope Kel Williams takes a look across the field and sees a professional quarterback and what they look like, and that's Dak Prescott. His first two games, he's been amazing. He's been a tough player on the road against Philadelphia, played great last week against the Giants. You can't ask any more than what he and CeeDee Lamb are doing on offense. And I'm sticking with them on the road here. I'm sticking with Dak. I don't like the way that Caleb has played the last 2 weeks, but if there is a defense that can be shredded, It's this Cowboy defense, and that's the one thing that I worry about. This may be the game that Caleb Williams goes off on, and if he does, that means Dak's going to find himself in another shootout, and I'm going to take Dak over Caleb every day.
This is the other problem. Like, and Boomer, I'm leaning your way because I'm not distressed. It doesn't affect my life. But I'm just stunned at how comprehensively bad the Bears have been. I have nothing to grasp at. And what scares me the most, and I think you can obviously speak to this, Caleb on script to start the game the first 2 weeks, excellent. The minute they're off script, dead. Dead. And it just... How do I support that? Is Caleb ever going to play well in the second half? I got to go with the Cowboys, but boy, do I not feel good about this game at all. You need a roll of Tums for that.
You know, the one thing I will say is that listening to Ben Johnson talk this week leading into this game, I mean, he feels, and I don't know if this is real, but I kind of think it is, he feels like they're close. Like they're getting there, even though they got blown out last week, which is the worst possible situation. That he feels like they're close and they're starting to make plays, and before you know it, he believes they'll turn the season around. And if there was going to be a defense you'd be able to do that against, it would be this one.
It'd be this week when you and me, Bert and Ernie over here, take the Cowboys.
Right.
It's gonna be real exciting. Niners laying 2.5 hosting the Cardinals.
You know, Brock Purdy may play in this game. And if he plays, are they gonna play much better than they played last week? I think this is a huge game. Obviously, in the NFC West, I'm going to take the 49ers here. I'll lay the 2.5 points. Show me something here, Kyler. This is a game where it's a prove-it game for you and your team.
That's right. Amen. Done. You said it all. Give me the cards. Chiefs laying 6.5 against the Giants. This is Scone's pick of the week.
I know it is. I'm taking the Giants here. And the reason I'm taking the Giants here is because I saw something last week offensively that I haven't seen here in 5 years, and that is big plays. And Russell Wilson played awesome. Now, I don't think he's going to play that well this week against this particular defense because it's better than the Cowboy defense. But man, I'll tell you what, Malik Nabers changes the game for them now. And I think Steve Spagnuolo is going to have to obviously do something to try to limit his impact in this game. Meanwhile, on the other side, and we've been talking about it, one of the biggest disappointments thus far this season has been the offense of the Kansas City Chiefs. So is it like a 24-20 game? I could see it being that, and that's why I'm going to take the Giants.
All right, here's the other. I can't believe I'm doing this. I'll go with Baltius because I feel like the Giants are just mercenaries of pain. You want them to win, they lose. You bet against them, they win. I'll take the Giants. Andrew Thomas might play. God help us. All I see is Russell Wilson crumpling under the Spagnuolo zero cover blitzes. Fine. I take the Giants. I submit. Boomer, your play of the week.
My play of the week is the Chargers over the Broncos.
All right, me, I'll go Raiders, and I'm going to go Steelers. Those are my two, Raiders, Steelers. And I can't believe you talked me into taking the G-men. What on earth is happening? I want them to win desperately. You know this, but
I want your dad to have a good
that's
weekend.
Why.
I'm rooting
the
for
focus.
Your dad. Yes.
Thank you. All right, we'll get to the best of the best momentarily. Game of the week and a whole lot more. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right, we have got our signature game of the week, and then we got to talk both ends of the spectrum: the 2-0s, the 0-2s. Who's redeemable? Who's not? Who's real? Who's fake? But I want to start Ravens laying 4.5 against the Lions on Monday Night Football. Boomer, bad leadoff.
I love this game. And I'll tell you what, it is hard to go into Baltimore and win a football game when it's a primetime game, whether it be a Thursday night. Joe Burrow has complained about that for years. Josh Allen has complained about that. Patrick Mahomes has complained about that. The fan base there is rabid on a primetime game. And I think this is going to be a really difficult game for the Lions, much like their first game was. This is not at home. It's not in the confines of Ford Field. And it's outside, where Jared Goff is a different quarterback than he is when they play inside. 4.5 is a lot of points. I know the Lions got one of the best rosters in football. I just think that, you know, the Ravens are going to be really difficult to beat here. I will take the Ravens, and I will lay the 4.5 points.
Yeah, the Ravens I mentioned earlier, incredibly physical, and the Lions' D-line is not healthy. Alee McNeil, all-pro caliber D-tackle. He's not going to be back till November. Levi Onwuzurike is out for the year. Hey, tell me if you've ever heard this before, Boomer. Marcus Davenport may not play.
Yeah.
That guy's a walking pane of glass. And you're doing it against Ravens team that, to me, on a different level, that is one of the most brute force physical lines in the league. Here's the other thing. And locally in Detroit, where I do radio, fans have had this kind of euphoria going from sky is falling against Pack to we're 15-2 good again. Look, you beat a collection of homeless people, a.k.a. the Chicago Bears. That doesn't mean you're back. It's Ravens. It's primetime. If this game were played in December, I'd like the Lions more because I think they'd have more of their horses up front. I got to go with the Ravens here. I just think the Ravens are in a different class.
And maybe if this game were in Detroit and inside.
Yes, of course.
And think about Baltimore as the 13th team in the NFL, in the NFL history. Think about this, with 40 or more points in each of its first two games. The other 12 teams at that point in time in their season were 2-0. So the collapse against Buffalo really hurts them and kind of camouflages just how good they really are. But, man, this is the sixth team in the last 50 seasons with back-to-back 40-point games to start the season.
Yeah.
And I don't see it ending here. They are impossible to stop.
The one thing that scares me is, you know, Dan Campbell's going to go for it on fourth downs. This is in their DNA. It's who they are. You know they won't quit. So, yeah, we're laying the 4.5. I could absolutely see the Lions cover this thing late, little backdoor cover, and destroy us. But I think the Ravens are winning. And look, the Ravens are one of the only teams. Ravens and Bills are maybe the only two in the last 2 years that have absolutely dropped a bomb on Dan Campbell. I know it's different teams and stuff, but Lamar is Lamar. And this team has never figured out a way against mobile quarterbacks. So I'll take the Ravens. All right, Scones, the 2-0s, the 0-2s. What can we do for you? Talk to me.
All right, guys. Well, the Rams looked weak in week one against Houston as they just squeaked by the Texans and beat a bad Titan team in week two. Are they a for real 2-0 team, the Rams?
Say yes.
Especially in that division.
I love that young defense, and you got a gritty veteran QB in Stafford. I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes as well, and we're going to find out this week because they're going to go against one of the better teams, overall teams in the league in Philadelphia. But I feel pretty good about the Rams, and I think that they're going to be a playoff team.
All right, guys, the Bucs, they get by Atlanta in week one. All right, they get by Houston in week two. Baker Mayfield, straight competitor. We talked about it in the first segment. Also, the running attack of Bucky Irving. Are the Bucs a for real 2-0 team in that week, NFC South?
I say yes, and I think they're still the team to beat in the NFC South. Atlanta's coming up quickly. Their defense showed something last week against Minnesota. But I will say they are a real 2-0 team and another should-be playoff team.
Yeah, two notes there, too. Big upgrade. They're going to get Tristan Wirfs back, who's one of the best tackles in the league. And two, drafting Emeka Ebuka, wow. That guy looks like he's played in the league for 5 years, Boomer. They're going to get Godwin back, but they've got the answer. They have their wide out, too, even if it takes Godwin time to kind of reintegrate. I'm going to say yes. I love everything about the Bucs right now.
All right, Colts destroy Miami in week one. They were gifted a game in Denver. We talked about it earlier. With the emergence of Danny Dimes, can the Colts keep this up in a bad division?
You know, I say yes.
You love Daniel Jones. You just love this man.
Well, you know, I'm happy for him, really, honestly, because, you know, I've been in his shoes. You know, there's nothing worse than, you know, having to reprove yourself and do it all over again. And they have an underrated roster. I don't know how many times we have to say this. I mean, you know, Jonathan Taylor is going to get him 100 yards every game. This could be play-action passing. He's mobile enough that Shane Steichen's going to move him around. I mean, I do think that they are the best team in that division. Is Jacksonville better than them? I don't believe so. So I'm going to say yes. I think that they are the odds-on favorite at this point to win the AFC South.
Here's my real focus. Can I truly say a team is for real when you got Carly Ursay Gordon in a headset taking notes on like a hotel notepad on the sidelines? I have never in my life seen it. What the hell are we doing here? It's bad enough I got Tom Brady helping Chip Kelly with the install, and he's this dud broadcaster. You now own the team. She's in a headset and taking handwritten notes. What could those notes possibly be?
You know what the amazing thing is that the head coach, the quarterback, they've all been interviewed about it, and all they say is that they appreciate her wanting to learn the game. And they really feel comfortable with her doing it. I don't know what else they could say.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you supposed to do? Yeah, well, you tell me somebody get rid of her. Like, what are you going to do? It's insane. I'm happy for Daniel Jones, fine enough. It's just a weird team, man. I'll say they can keep it up to the tune of 9 wins, but I think there's a cap on what the Colts can be. Go ahead, Scones.
All right. Mike loved the Cardinals coming into the season, and it, yes, you know, seems to ring true. They're 2-0 amongst two other 2-0 teams in that NFC West are the Cardinals for real.
If only if they win this game. This is a referendum game. This is an organizational game. This is something. It has been eons since the Cardinals won a big game. They've had hot starts. Kyler's been good in September and October. Then November and December comes around, and he's like an Italian grandmother. He shrinks. It's time. Win a big game now. If they win, yes. If they lose, I hate them forever.
I am not as bullish as Mike is on the Cardinals just simply because of the other team that they have to play in that division. I think Jonathan Gannon's a tremendous coach, and I think his defense has been better than I thought they were going to be. Their pass rush has been better. He doesn't like the blitz a lot, which I think Kyle Shanahan should be able to slice and dice. So I think this is a referendum game, like Mike says, but I'm just not as high on the Cardinals as he is.
All right. Well, the Bengals notoriously always got off to slow starts. They got out to a fast start this year. They're 2-0, but they lose Burrow pretty much for the season. Are the Bengals, can they still keep it up with Jake Browning at the helm?
So I said earlier in the show that I think he can get them the 10 wins. I think there's a real respect for him and a like for him in that locker room. I think he feels comfortable throwing the ball down the field to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. You know that Zach Taylor is going to be pushing him to do that. He does throw interceptions, though. I will say that. He's got a little bit of recklessness in him. He'll throw one up maybe at the wrong time, but he did show the ability to come back from those interceptions last week to lead his team to a fourth quarter win. So I think they're a 10-win team with him. That doesn't mean I think they're going to win the division. And I don't know if they'll make the playoffs with 10 wins this year.
Look, there are just two offensive lines that I've watched through 2 weeks now that are wholly unsustainable. Like, you're not winning games. It's the Texans and the Bengals. That O-line is a travesty. And it's a matter of time, honestly, before they get Browning killed. So I'm going to say no to this. Also, the division is a bear. They're not in one of these softer divisions. So it's a shame. They never start out hot. They have this year, but I'm going to say they're fake. I'm out.
All right, last one, the Chargers. All right, as the only play I put on all seasons, the Chargers to win the division. They're 2-0. The Chiefs are 0-2. Will the Chargers emerge in the AFC West as the division champs and go to the playoffs this year?
I say yes. I agree with everything that Mike has been saying about Jim Harbaugh as a coach. He loves him as a coach. Hate him as the Michigan coach, but that doesn't mean...
Also correct.
Right, but he can coach, man, and he brings out the best in his team. And the thing I love most about what the Chargers are, and I think this is how you make your team physical, you got to be a running football team. And Jim Harbaugh is an old school coach who wants balance. And he's got a quarterback that can make every single throw. I am all over the Chargers. I think they are terrific.
Yep. Everything he said. And they're building it. The Greg Roman offense, they're doing exactly what they did in San Francisco a little over a decade ago. They are going to show up. They're going to be physical. They're going to pound the football. And they've got an MVP caliber quarterback.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Justin Herbert is awesome. So, yes.
Alrighty, guys.
Now the recycling bin. Here we go.
Of the 0-2 teams, who will surprise everyone and emerge? You got the Bears, Dolphins, Jets, Browns, Chiefs, Texans, Titans, Saints, Panthers, and Giants. Who will emerge out of that pack and turn their season around?
May I offer something? Let's just for fun, just take the Chiefs out of this. And I want you and me to select from the others. The Chiefs is the easiest one based on pedigree and blah-bitty blah. Pick from the rest.
The only one that I could take from the rest of this would be the Texans. And the only reason I say that is because, you know, they do have a top-flight defense. They do have a great pass rush. They have a quarterback that's done it before. They have a coach who I do like in D'Amico Ryans. That's the only team in this list or on this list that I can see that could come off of this list and maybe make a run at their division.
See, yeah, divisionally, yes. Surprise or maybe like wild card. If we downgrade them all and go, okay, who could catch fire and be a playoff team? See, the Texans' problem is it's the AFC. The AFC is loaded. So we go, all right, you got a soft division in the NFC South, Saints, Panthers. I can't get there with either. Bryce Young's been in the time machine. He's back to being Andy Dalton's backup. I don't know what the hell that is. Dolphins were out. Forget the Jets and Giants. What do you want me to do there? All right, hold on. Let me ask you this question. Maybe you have more faith than I do. Is there a world the Bears go zombie mode? They got all the weapons. Somehow it clicks with Caleb. And they become this plucky team that wins 8 or 9 games.
Not in that division. I don't see it. I really don't see it. And, you know, the Dolphins, 0-3, I don't see that either. That's why I keep saying the Titans. I mean, the Texans in their division. They can take the division.
So bad. That offensive line is so bad. You know, here's the other thing. Boomer, look, can we just for 30 seconds, New York football, how is this every year? It's like you duct tape the Jets and Giants together. You can't make a good team. How much longer is it going to be this way?
Well, as long as they keep changing coaches and general managers, and the instability adds to all of this. And, you know, Aaron Glenn, you know, he's off to a bad start. You know, the press conferences are filled with cliches and things that he's heard from other coaches that he's worked with before. You know, he stepped into this thinking that, you know, maybe, just maybe, Justin Fields would give us that performance that we saw against Pittsburgh. But then we saw Justin last week, and that's who he is, and that's who he's always been. He's always been inconsistent. So, you know, until one of these franchises, I think the Giants are trying to actually be stabilized, and that's why they kept Shane and Dable. And maybe, just maybe, they'll surprise somebody this week, and they'll upset the Chiefs, and maybe they can get their season back on track.
All right, sorry to end it on a downer. It is week 3. Tons of storylines. We've said it all. We've done it all, and we'll do it again next week. God help us. Maybe the Giants can win a game. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.